Amen. Well, let's turn to Hebrews 10 and then also to Psalm 27:11. Let's meditate on our memory verse here. And we'll take Psalm 27:11 first. Psalm 27:11. And let's go through it three times. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 27:11. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 27:11. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 27:11. So a good verse for us there. Then let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. And we'll begin in verse 1, Lord willing. Amen. And Brother Andrew, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So it says the law was a shadow of good things to come. It's kind of like an airplane flying over. If you get it just right, you can see the shadow of the airplane on the ground. But that shadow is not the real thing, is it? I mean, you can run as fast as you can and jump on that shadow. You're not going to take off, are you? It's not the real thing. So the law was a shadow of good things to come, the Bible tells us here. But it wasn't. The law and its sacrifices never took away sin. That's the point here. It was just an image of the things to come. And that's why verse 1 says, the last part of the year, or the last part of the verse, excuse me, which they offered year by year, that is, those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. And I didn't start my phrase quick enough. It says, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. I've seen a lot of the car lots. I don't know if you noticed during the coronavirus, all the car lots were packed. I mean, they were just jam-packed with cars. They couldn't sell new cars, and maybe not even used ones. I don't know. And so I was thinking, I wonder what is going to happen to all these new vehicles, new cars, new trucks. I mean, Tinney was jam-packed. Ed Cohen was jam-packed. And I'm thinking, by the time this opens up, it could be near the next model year. I mean, isn't it August when you can start to buy? So it's it'll be 2021 vehicles. And so I'm thinking, what are they going to do? You know, are they going to just about give away these new vehicles? What is going to happen? And then I saw out in front of Tinney, there was a sign saying the new something order from the governor allows us to sell cars. And a phenomena began that I could not believe. Pickups. In just like a week's time, it seems like every other truck was gone at Tinney's. And in front with the cars, it was like a huge number of cars. They were just jam-packed. I think there were three rows, one facing the road and then two back-to-back, I think. And it got where it almost looked bare compared to what it did. And I thought, what is happening? So I drove through Tinney's used cars. And in the back, a whole line of cars that said, how did they word that? Lease return. in the window said, lease return, lease return, lease return, lease return, lease return, lease return. And I'm thinking, that's what happened, is all these people were leasing vehicles and the lease came due during coronavirus, so they couldn't trade them in. And so it was like, wow. And so I've been watching these car dealers and I'm thinking, I mean, we may see, you know what happened to toilet paper? Well, that might happen with new cars by the time the factories get turning out cars. It might be kind of hard. And I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought, how are they going to get rid of all these before the next model year? And wow, just things have just really taken off and people just lapping them up. And so it seems like even with used cars, you would think there'd be tons of used cars then with that. But I don't know, even some of the used car lots, like Blake Hollenbeck, they were just jam-packed too with vehicles during coronavirus, but they don't have very many pickups left on their lot right now. And it's like people just buying up vehicles like crazy. And so we think about what is happening, and as we think about this here, the Old Testament law was just a shadow of that which was to come. And sometimes we don't always fully understand the shadow coming. We don't understand what the shadow is showing fully sometimes. And obviously a lot of the Jewish people didn't catch it. I mean, even the disciples didn't catch it. But Jesus had to say to them, to the two on the Emmaus road, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And notice with me in Luke 24. Let's notice that just a moment. Luke 24. There are so many types in Scripture that people should have seen. And I had thought about doing a message just on the types that we are seeing. What is a type? A type, if you even look in the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, it's something foretold in the Old Testament which foreshadowed something that was going to happen in the New. Like Moses was a type of Christ. He came to deliver his people and they rejected him. Remember when he killed the Egyptian? He thought his people would understand that God was going to use him to deliver them, but they didn't. They said, "Who made you a judge over us?" And so Moses had to flee. He was gone 40 years. And the same Christ came, and his people, for the most part, did not accept him. And so they persecuted him, crucified him, but he's coming again. And when he comes again, the Bible says, Israel shall be saved in a day. They're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. They're going to wail, because then they're going to realize what a horrible mistake they made. So all of these types foreshadowing things to come. But in Luke 24, in verse 25, Luke 24, 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at who? Moses and who? All the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So now these things should have been seen, because he said to them, "O fools." Now that wouldn't be very nice to say. In fact, it would be sinful to say, wouldn't it, if these things were really hidden? It wouldn't be right to call someone a fool if you had hid something so well they had no chance of seeing it. So you know that God did make these things plain for those who had a heart to seek. So back in Hebrews chapter 10, the shadow of good things to come. And then in verse 2, Hebrews 10, 2. "For then would they not have ceased to be offered," that is the sacrifices, "because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins." Once purged. If the sacrifices of the law made the bringers perfect, if it purged their sin, then why did they have to keep coming? Well, that was the whole point. It did not purge their sin. It only covered their sin until the real sacrifice would come. And notice in verse 2, once again, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more what? Conscience of sins. Remember, we talked about the conscience of man. And on that note, if you hold your place here, let's turn to Romans 2. Once again, Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. We talked about what the conscience does. The saved and the lost have a conscience in the inner man. In Romans 2 and verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the who? The doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts. Their what? Conscience, also bearing witness. Well, how does a conscience bear witness? Well, as we read on, and we talked about this, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, what? Accusing or else what? Excusing one another. So that's what our conscience does. It either accuses us or excuses us. So if we do something and it's questionable, then comes into play, how have we strengthened the inner man? Have we been strengthened by the Spirit of God through reading the Word of God? Or are we carnal, and does our conscience excuse us? Well, that's faulty. We've been looking at some different vehicles, and so I called the mechanic about it, and the mechanic said, well, that certain vehicle you're looking at, you have to be careful, because on that vehicle, there was a mistake made when it was manufactured. And you know that little sign on your dash somewhere that comes up and says, time for oil change? Well, I don't know what they recommend nowadays. I'm of the old school. It was always 3,000 miles. I think some of them now are 5,000. But on some of these vehicles, I don't know, maybe Brother Jim knows. Did they go to 15,000 on some of them? Not that high. Well, this thing wasn't coming on, I think they said, until like 50,000 miles. And so the mechanic said, the problem is with some of these vehicles is that these people never change their oil and there is sludge in them. And so the mechanic said they have timing chain problems. I know this is really interesting to you, isn't it? They have timing chain problems, and the mechanic said some people think they're having transmission trouble because it seems like it's being held back, but actually it's the motor itself being held back because it's trying to turn in all this sludge inside the motor instead of clean oil. And so that's an issue with that vehicle. Some people didn't have the common sense to notice just the mileage. You know, it's kind of like, it's like Pastor Jeremy related in Sunday school this morning about, you know, computers and programs are not always right. And so I'd never heard those illustrations. And doesn't it show you how God has protected our nation? I mean, Russia thinks we're attacking them. They could have launched a full-scale nuclear attack against us and wiped us out because we had not even sent anything, actually. And vice versa. You know, our country at one point thought Russia was attacking us. So we have to, our conscience needs maintenance by the Holy Spirit. We need maintenance through the Word of God. Because otherwise we can just get where it's excusing all of our behaviors. So it's very important about the conscience. And then let's look at Hebrews 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. That alone showed that it was a faulty system. Maybe I shouldn't use the word fault, but we talked about this very thing before, and actually using that same word. But let me ask you this. How would you like it if every Christmas, instead of your loved ones giving you a Christmas wish list, every Christmas they gave you a list of all of the sins, your sins, that they had observed you do throughout the whole year? How many of you would like that? No. Can you imagine every year bringing your sin to remembrance? Well, you can see why that was not a perfect system, because that's what it said, verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So something was lacking. This was not the perfect system. So verse 4, Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of what? Bulls and of goats should what? Take away sins. So Hebrews 10:4 is very clear, and yet there are a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians that think that people were saved in the Old Testament through offering these sacrifices. But the Bible is very clear. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Those animal sacrifices were like a check, and I realize more and more that's going to become something that's antique. There's debit cards, credit cards, and checks are getting more and more expensive to buy. It's kind of like duplicators. They're just not being used as much anymore. People want full color, and I mean, even school systems are going to full color copiers instead of duplicators. It's more expensive, but churches are going to it. And the problem is we used to be able to buy duplicators pretty reasonably, and now the price is just going up because they're not manufacturing as many of them. And when it comes here to animal sacrifices, they were like a check. You can write a check at the store, but it's not money. It's just a piece of paper. And it's a promissory note is what it is. It's you are promising that you have that amount of money in the bank so that if that business cashes your check, they will actually be able to get money. And sometimes, you know, maybe you misfigured in your checkbook, and so you might get a note in the mail or maybe even a phone call from the place saying, hey, I tried to cash your check, and it said insufficient funds. What's up? And so then you have to dig in. Okay, what went wrong here? So animal sacrifices were just like checks. People were bringing them before the Lord, but they were to know that this was not the real payment for their sin. It was just the promissory note. My faith is in the real sacrifice, the payment to come. And that's what Jesus said to those men. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So now, you stop and think about it, verse 4 there, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. How could the blood of animals take away our sin? I mean, how many of you would accept a blood transfusion that came from an animal? No one. Why? Because we are different kinds, that's why. It wouldn't work. You could try it. It's red, but it's not going to work. So in Genesis 1:21, people should have thought about this. Okay, the wages of sin is death. Why would anyone think that the blood of animals would actually atone for man's sin would actually make the payment. No, it was just an act of faith looking ahead to what was to come. In Genesis 1:21, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after what? Their kind. And every winged fowl after what? His kind. And God saw that it was good. And then in verse 24, Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after what? His kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after what? His kind. And it was so. And on it goes there. And then if you drop down to verse 26, notice the difference. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in what? Our image, after our likeness. So none of this different kind stuff. Man was made in the image of God. And then we read on down here, then God created Eve from Adam's rib. He did the first surgery there. So, but you look in chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 18. Chapter 2:18. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And then notice, verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every what? Beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found what? And help me for him. So the animals didn't even fit the bill to be a help meet for Adam, let alone like him of the same type. So why would man ever think that the blood of animals would atone for his sin? It wouldn't make sense anyway. So there's no excuse for people thinking that animal sacrifices would actually atone, would actually pay for man's sin. So back in Hebrews 10, so that's why we continue on with the thought here. Hebrews 10 and verse 5, Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou what? Wouldst not, but a what? A body hast thou prepared me. The Jews should have known this. Just thinking through it and all the prophecies, they should have known it. What was needed for a true sacrifice, a true payment for our sin, was someone of like nature giving his pure blood. And notice in Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14. So if you owned a store and people started writing you checks and you decided, well, this is the real thing. I'm just gonna save these all up. I'm gonna put them in my safe. And so in your safe, you have 10,000 personal checks that have never been cashed. And then you decide times are a little hard, so you pull those out and take them to the bank, and they're probably going to say, sorry, but I can't accept these. These are just pieces of paper, and it's over 90 days or whatever it is, whatever the standard procedure is on a check. I don't know how long a bank normally will even try to cash a check, but then it's like, oh, no. You mean this wasn't real money? No. Just like the animal sacrifices. That was not the payment, just the promise of the payment. But in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of what? Flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of what? The same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him what? the seed of Abraham. So, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses would say, well, Jesus and Michael the Archangel are the same. No, this shows very clearly that is not the case. Jesus did not take upon him the nature of an angel. Angels cannot die. If Jesus would have come as an angel, it would have done us no good, because we needed someone to die for our sin. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be, what? Made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for what? The sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So, back in Hebrews 10:5, what was needed was a real human body. Hebrews 10:5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, a sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, the Jews should have known this. Look at me in Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6, very clearly prophesying about the Messiah. Isaiah 9:6. And it says, for unto us a child is what? Born. Unto us a son is what? Given. So the child is born. This confuses people. Is Mary the mother of God? Well, no. Is Jesus God? Yes. Well, then how can Mary not be the mother of God? She's the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is God. Mary is the mother of his earthly body of flesh. She is the mother of his flesh. But she is not the mother of God, because the Son is given. It's the eternal Son of God that was given from heaven. So she's the mother of his human flesh, but not the mother of the eternal Son of God. He has always existed. So let's go back then to Hebrews 10:6. Hebrews 10:6. The Bible says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. How could God take pleasure in them when they were not the true payment? Just a check written. Just a piece of paper by faith looking ahead to the sacrifice to come. In fact, David clearly saw this. Look in Psalm 51, Psalm 51:15. The Jews are without excuse for seeing this in the Old Testament. In Psalm 51 and verse 15. Psalm 51:15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not what? That's interesting. Thou desirest not sacrifice? Else would I give it? Thou delightest not in what? Burnt offering? You're kidding. This is in the Old Testament. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are what? Broken spirit. Broken in a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. There are many chapters and psalms that are messianic psalms. They point forward to the Messiah. In that instance, Psalm 22 is one of them. Psalm 22 in verse 1. Once again, God used David to write this one. Does this sound familiar? Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who said that? Jesus said that on the cross. So this is a messianic psalm. This is one that was pointing forth in verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that laugh, that see me, laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They what? Shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. The people around the cross said those exact words. Hey, if you're Jesus, come down from the cross. You said you were the Son of God. Let him deliver you. So this is a messianic psalm. Verse 17. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Now the word tell, it's not like he was talking to his bones. The word tell in an old English sense means to count. And you'll see this in the Bible. It says, tell the stars. Well, it's not like, okay, stars, listen, I got something to say to you. That wasn't it. It was counting the stars. God was saying that to Abraham. Tell the stars, and your seed will be a number like that. So it's kind of, it says, I may tell all my bones. So it's talking about, I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. With Jesus, when they whipped and scourged people like that, they would rip the flesh right down to bone. And his bones would have been able to be seen. So just a horrible, horrible sight. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Do you remember that at the cross? The soldiers were casting lots for his clothes, especially his robe there that was sewn one piece. So this whole chapter is a messianic psalm. So it was looking forward to that time. So let's go back to Hebrews 10 and now verse 7. Hebrews 10, 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to what? Do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book, it was written of Jesus Christ. In the volume of the book, it was written that he was coming to bear our sins. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How could they miss it? How could they miss it? In the volume of the book, it was written that he was coming to do God's will. Well, you know what? In the volume of the book, it is written about us too. Really? Where? Let's look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Why am I here? Why am I here? You know, we hear that often from people at assisted living and nursing homes. Why am I here? Why am I here? Because God has a purpose for you. Do we always know? No. But back to the point, where in the volume of the book is it written of you and of me? Well, Psalm 139, verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed what? My reins. Thou hast covered who? Me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in what? In thy book, all what? My members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In God's book, in the volume of his book, it was written before we were ever fully formed. All of our members were written in that book. In God's book, it was written, your nose is just like your dad's, or your mom's, or your aunt's, or your uncle. There's three different Austin girls that I'm amazed, they just have a certain smile or look, and they span three different Austin families, and I'm always amazed if you told me that those three were actually in the same immediate family, I would say they were sisters. But they're not sisters. Some of them are a ways far removed, but their smiles, just some of their facial expressions, it's just amazing. You know what? All that was written in God's book. And so back to Hebrews 10 in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to what? Do thy will, O God. Now, God had written our nose, our ears, our smile, our chin, our cheeks, how our eyes are set, close, far apart, light, dark, all of that was in God's book, the volume of his book. But what I'd like us to think on for a moment here is, in the volume of the book, it was written that he was coming to do thy will. What about us? The same God who has the volume of the book to tell all of our members before they were even formed is the same God that has a will for our lives. And are we fulfilling that? That's an awesome thought, isn't it? Are we going to fulfill? Jesus said, I come, this is prophesied of Jesus, I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me to do thy will, O God. That is really why he created all of us, isn't it? To do his will. I pray that God would help us this week. Lord, it's amazing. You knew all of my members. You knew what I was going to look like and who I was going to look like. You know, maybe I don't look anything like I belong in that family, or maybe, you know, I do. But even more importantly, in God's book, he had his will written. What is his will for my life? What is his will? The car lots are emptying out. You know what? I'm not troubled, are you? I really don't. When I was coming back from Green Acres today, I was coming back. I don't know why. For some reason today, my brain is just on cars, I guess. But when I was coming back from Green Acres, I was looking at, I know what it was. It was a fancy truck that was going by me. And I was saying, Lord, I don't really want that fancy truck. What I want to do is your will. I want to do your will. More than anything, more than any material thing, I just want to do his will. I want to fulfill the purpose why I'm here. And the same for you, right? Isn't that what we all desire? We want to fulfill his will. And let's do that this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would teach us thy way, O Lord, and lead us in a plain path because of our enemies. We know the world, the flesh, and the devil will try to get us sidetracked. Father, none of those things mean anything. The only thing that means anything really is your will. In the volume of your book, it was written, all of our members before they were fashioned. And you also know what was your perfect will for our lives. Lord, please show that to us. I pray that no one in here would feel like there's no purpose to their lives. I pray you'd help each one here to realize that you are the one that wrote down all of our members. And you also, as Jesus spoke, I come to do thy will. Father, we are come to a new week. Today was the first day of this new week. I pray that with renewed commitment today, we would say, Father, I start this new week to do your will. Please show it to me, Father. We pray in Jesus' name.